Welcome to the Fancy Boys Fantasy Football Podcast. This is Kirk, and I'm with Greg, and let's get it started.
Oh, Kirk, welcome in. Our first post-draft episode of the year.
Sweaty place.
What's that?
I said the jungle's a hot and sweaty place.
Yeah, you're going to die.
Yeah.
All right, man. All right, so hey, we're coming off of our hot Mother's Day draft, which I know all of the guys appreciated.
Yes.
Man, and I got to be honest, we knocked it out of the park, Kirk.
I don't know if we made a mistake.
No, I think that the season will bear that out.
Right.
Some people may question some moves so far, but like I said, we made all the right moves. Some of the players may underperform.
Yeah.
That's
what are you going to do?
It's out of our hands.
Yeah.
So all we're going to do this episode is just kind of recap the draft and come out with our early power rankings, which I know everybody's waiting on the edge of their seat for. But, man, a lot of guys were very true to form in the draft, and I can't wait to talk about them.
Me neither.
All right. So one of the things that's really cool about Dynasty leagues is just the opportunity for trades and trading draft picks and all of that stuff. And even in the startup draft, we opened it up to where you could trade, you know, package picks and trade up in the draft. And we actually had one before the draft. We had Alex, who is the Nickelback fan, traded back two spots with Wassel, LMAOF.
2.0.
He's traded back two spots just to get a third round pick next year, which is a rookie that probably would not even be on his roster, with how small these dynasty rosters are. So it started off with a bang. Alex is, you know, could not wait to show that he doesn't know what in the world he's doing. I talked to him the next day and he said, the guy just kept bugging me. And he actually said, please, will you just accept it? And then he just said, fine, screw it. He said that your and Adam's exchange after the trade went through made it all worth it, though.
Wonderful. Yes. So. What a great exchange that was, too.
Yeah. All right. So, hey, the first thing we'll do is just kind of recap the first round. And there weren't really a lot of surprises other than the stupid trade. The 1-1 was to B. Mitch was Saquon. Kind of expected there. Actually, as soon as we picked the draft order, he said, okay, might as well chalk me in for Saquon. So good pick there. Number two, for the purple PP eaters,
yeah,
was Zeke again. Kind of
surprising.
Surprising he didn't go with Dalvin Cook.
Yeah. I know.
That was what the ranking said he should have done.
No.
Oh, well. Huh. Number three with Nuke was Christian McCaffrey. There was some, you know, maybe some question on which direction he would go there. Oh, excuse me. That's Nuke and Stark Dog. Don't want to forget him. Hustle Town, who is T.O., he at the 1-4 goes with Alvin Kamara. Kind of, those four were all expected to go right away.
Here's where it started to get curious.
Right, and this is where we weren't sure if the run on running backs would continue or if those receivers would start to go off the board. Now, at the 1-5, that was Wassel who found the one person in the league dumber than himself to trade up with. So Wassel at the 1-5, he picked the first receiver off the board and DeAndre Hopkins, and
he took an awful long time.
He did, yeah. For somebody who traded up to get his guy,
yeah,
I'm using quotation marks with my finger, his guy.
Right.
It sure took him all of 2 minutes to figure out who that guy was.
Yeah.
Having said that, I don't disagree with the pick. That's probably the right way to go.
I don't think he traded up to get him.
No, he traded up just to trade.
Yeah.
And that's something we'll try to exploit all year long.
Right.
All right. At the 1-6, we actually had a substitute drafter where this was Jay Danowski's spot we had computer Dano actually drafting for real Dano. And I got to say, computer Dano is terrific.
Yeah. He really helps this league out.
Yeah. He takes his time with this pick, so that is for sure.
Right.
Computer Dano went with Beckham at the 1-6. Nickelback fan at the 1-7. Really took the first person that kind of went against the rankings. He reached for Juju at the 1-7, which, hey, if that's the guy you like, then have at it. Ryan Edwards at the 1-8 went with Melvin Gordon. B-more, Michael Thomas in the 1-9, which isn't shocking because he also has him in our other Dynasty League. And then so it comes to us at the turn, 1-10. And, Kirk, you and I, before the draft, said we expected three, or we were hoping three guys would be around, or at least two or three guys. That was right. Juju, Devontae Adams, and Todd Gurley. And two of those guys were there, and that's exactly what we did, was Devontae Adams and Todd Gurley, which we were ecstatic with.
Yes. Picks of the draft so far.
Yep, exactly. The number one running back and receiver in points per game last year. All right, rest of the second round, I'll just fire through these quickly. Joe Mixon at 2-2. 2-3 was Julio Jones. 2-4, James Conner. 2-5, Mike Evans. 2-6, David Johnson. 2-7, Amari Cooper, which I thought was a reach. Le'Veon Bell at the 2-8. Adam Thielen, not surprisingly, going to the Purple PP Eaters at 2-9. And then Dalvin Cook at the 2-10.
Well, here's my thought. Now that we're refreshing it, Adam Wassel decided that James Conner was better than David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, and Dalvin Cook. Now, age-wise, David Johnson and Dalvin Cook are relatively close, Cook being the youngest. I understand why he may have thought Bell was not as valuable being older, but I for his first running back to be James Conner being better than those three, I couldn't believe it.
Well, David Johnson is as old as Le'Veon Bell. They're both 27. Dalvin Cook's a younger guy. Yeah, you know, that's a homer pick. That's a homer. You know, he's the Pittsburgh Steeler, Erie guy. He's picking somebody he can root for. Not, you know, he's picking with his heart, not his head. Which, right. In that case, may not be a bad thing for Wasser to not pick with his head.
He may have picked Amari Cooper.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, quick question. Obviously, we had the best 1-2 punch after two rounds with Adams and Gurley. Other than us, who do you like as far as a 1-2 punch?
Ooh, I would have to say, I like as far as age and just, you know, long. I think B. Moore pick Michael Thomas and Joe Mixon. I think he might have lucked out there with those two.
Okay, so yeah, I actually like the two guys who went running back. I like B. Mitch, who had Saquon and Dalvin Cook, and actually like Nuke and Sturkey's pick of McCaffrey and Bell. Obviously, there's a lot of question marks with Bell, but
right.
I thought they got off to a good start. Real quick, I'll go through the third round, and then we'll kind of talk about some other who we thought were the best picks and worst picks. The third round, no huge shockers here. I thought the third round was pretty much as expected.
The run on tight ends.
Yes.
Came earlier than we expected.
Yep, so at the 3-1, Keenan Allen. 3-2, Antonio Brown, which could be a great value there for the PP Eaters. Travis Kelce, first tight end off the board at 3-3, which, according to Sleeper app, that was a value pick there. Diggs at 3-4. Nick Chubb at 3-5. A.J. Green at 3-6. Fournette at 3-7. Coming up to us, Kirk, we were pretty much decided that we were going to take a tight end, but only if it was one of the top three. Mm-hmm. The other two top three tight ends went right before us. That's Zach Ertz at 3-8 and George Kittle at 3-9. So we actually settled for the first overall quarterback, Patrick Mahomes, also number one at his position last year. So we got the number one running back, receiver, and quarterback in points per game last
year. I mean, and we listen. This is proof that our rankings and our podcasts are very reminiscent of what we're going to do in the draft. And we felt he was the best quarterback, and everybody else sucked.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, that's newcomers episode. We just listened to him way too much, I guess.
Yeah,
and no, we just believed it.
We cashed in on the experts. Analysis from Nick.
We feel bad that nobody else has a quarterback. Worth anything. So
pick of the draft. We were ecstatic with that. So honestly, after the first three rounds, I thought we knocked it out of the park, as expected. Mm-hmm. But I want to give credit where credit's due. So I want to talk about some of the other really solid picks from this draft. Like I said, if we're looking at value, pure values, I thought in the third round at the 3-5, Nick Chubb went to Nickelback Fan, and I thought that was a great value. That's Alex who was picking. We can't totally credit Alex with that. Actually, we can't credit Alex at all because I think there was a glitch in the app, and actually that was an auto pick. So Computer Alex did a heck of a job with that pick.
Right. All right.
Right. The other one I want to highlight is at the 6-5, and that's Dano who picked Chris Godwin. Chris Godwin as his fourth receiver, and I think he's got really – kind of blow up potential this year, and to have that as your number four guy is just great, especially, you know, when you have AJ Green as your third guy. He's injury prone. Thought that was a great pick, and much like Computer Alex, that pick was all Computer Dano. So, you know, you and I are up there picking with some of the best computers in the game, and that's really all I have for other notable picks. Unless we just want to recap our whole draft right now.
Yeah. I mean, our picks were really, really, really good.
We want to dedicate an entire episode to that though.
Yeah. We'll get into that more in depth. The big thing to take away is if you only have three quarterbacks on your team, you probably need two more. Computer Dano proved that that's necessary in a fantasy football draft.
Right.
When you play one quarterback, to his credit, it was Matt Stafford was his fifth and final quarterback, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great value there. He might get to play once or twice, but yeah, he can have a solid rotation, almost like a pitching lineup.
Yeah, next man up.
Yeah, he could. Good for him.
It is like a major league rotation. That's great. Great analogy.
Every third game or every fifth game he gets to play.
Yeah. All right. Hey, let's get into really the meat of the show because there's much more material here. Let's talk about the worst picks of the draft. Obviously, we already brought up that awful trade from Nickelback Fan in the first round, which defied logic. And then we've already talked about this next one at the 2-7 where Hustletown went with Amari Cooper. He goes with Amari Cooper over Adam Thielen, Keenan Allen, Antonio Brown, and Stephon Diggs. And also Le'Veon Bell, Dalvin Cook, and Travis Kelce. And I can't figure that out for the life of me. In his defense, he ended up getting Diggs back in the third round, which is he redeemed himself there. But I just feel like if you have Alvin Kamara, Le'Veon Bell, and Stephon Diggs, or Alvin Kamara, Travis Kelce, Stephon Diggs, that's a much better team, and you have much more of a known than Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper is going to have 2 50-point games and 7 single-digit games for him. It's going to be incredibly frustrating for him.
Right, right. Not to mention the trying to be the equivalent to the real world draft value or in trade value, where he was a first round draft pick in the real world. No, that doesn't work that way. You did not get value for him because he was traded for a first round draft pick in the NFL.
Yep.
You lost.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to the fourth round. Wassel, Picks, Derrick Henry at the 4-4. I think that for most mock drafts I was doing, that was about two rounds too early. And and again, he picks him over Aaron Jones, Sony Michel, Devonta Freeman, Lindsey, guys, Marlon Mack. I mean, guys who, again, Derrick Henry had the, he had the two huge games at the end of last year and then one or two other okay games. And that was it. He was awful. He lost you fantasy games last year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I, just to put in perspective how bad he was, I won a league with him last year because I picked him up off the waiver wire after he scored a 50-point game. He was on less than 50% of rosters when he finally decided to be a competent NFL player. And, you know, that will stick in the mind with fantasy owners. And obviously, Wassel remembered that and reached for him big time.
Yeah. Good luck guessing which game that's going to be.
Yeah. The next reach, I think also at running back, was at the 5-2 for the PP Eaters. And that is Tariq Cohen, again, ahead of running backs like Philip Lindsay, 1,000-yard rusher, Darius Geis, you know, blue chip prospect, you know, Marlon Mack, who had a great year, Damian Williams, who has a great opportunity, Josh Jacobs, first round pick, and Tariq Cohen is a PPR guy who probably will have maybe 100 carries this year. They drafted a running back, they brought in Mike Davis. I don't love that as your number two guy.
Yeah, he's more of a luxury item. You know, after you get your first two guys, then you can look at him.
Great flex player, but he's your number two guy. And you know, looking later in his draft, his next running back picked was James White, who's really kind of the same. So,
he's even in a more crowded room. Rex Burkhead. Right. Sony Michel, and then they drafted another running back.
Yeah, Damian Harris. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Also, sticking in the fifth round, Julian Edelman, who you and I both agreed that we were definitely going to pick in this draft, and this was Edwards, whose team name is Mediocre at Best. He picked him at the 5-8, which, again, great player. He's going to help his team this year. But he probably could have – I think we were getting him in, like, the 11th round in most mock drafts. He probably could have waited three more rounds to get him. So, great player, great pick. He's going to help his team. But he could have – you know, he could have had Marlon Mack in the fifth round and then drafted Edelman in the eighth. So, missed opportunity there. Just a bad value for Edelman. But – you know, I was, having said that, I was still pissed when he took him.
Oh yeah, that ruined the second half of our draft.
Right. Especially when we take a player like, you know, Sammy Watkins, who has some risk put in. Julian Edelman, virtually no risk this year.
Right.
Also, the next pick in that round, B-more, goes with DJ Moore. And that may have just been because of the last name. I don't think they're related, but I will check with him on that. I've never seen DJ Moore without his helmet on, but I don't know. Maybe the resemblance is uncanny.
Maybe they both have an affinity of Orchids of Asia.
Yeah, right. They both work there.
Yeah.
That's why B Moore has that name. He's a former employee.
Yeah.
That's how we met. I was a customer and just asked him if he liked fantasy football, and that's how he came into the league.
Wow.
And into my life.
Yeah. Just a couple orchids.
But DJ Moore over such receivers as Sammy Watkins, Chris Godwin, Jarvis Landry, Allen Robinson, Tyler Boyd. I don't get that. And then finally, we're getting to back-to-back picks in the seventh round between Computer Dano and, again, Wassel. We got to bring him up. They went with the Kansas City Chiefs troublemakers. First, Kareem Hunt, who you know, is now in the Cleveland Browns, was taken at 7-6, and then Tyreek Hill at 7-7. Kirk, go ahead and break down why Wassel's pick of Tyreek Hill was just a bad call.
Well, he did not have a third wide receiver yet. He decided to take one that will not be playing this year and possibly might not be playing ever, even longer, you know, if at all. So he to risk taking him and then saying, well, I'll just get the rest of my starting lineup later, was a very, very big mistake, especially when he didn't even go after a wide receiver right after that.
Right. So his next two receivers were rookies on bad situations.
Yeah. He was, I don't know. I'd like to say he just fell asleep and whacked his head and hit the keyboard, but
yeah,
I think he thought it out.
Yeah. Now, if you look at actually Computer Dano's pick of Kareem Hunt, Computer Dano already had Aaron Jones and Darius Geis.
Mm-hmm.
He picks Kareem Hunt, then he immediately picks Rashad Penny. That's a pick there with Kareem Hunt where there's more risk, but it makes sense.
Right.
Or, you know, you have some fail safes there to
protect. Well, there's a calculation involved with the computer saying, okay, I can get him.
Right.
This is a little bit earlier, and that's pretty surprising that the computer picked him.
Yeah, that's an algorithm that obviously Dano had to pay up for that computer to have that put in there.
He paid extra.
Yeah. Wassel's computer just keeps backing up and running right into the corner of the room over and over again.
Dano's subscription did run out shortly after those picks.
Yeah, the battery went out.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, real quick. So I just want to close this out with highlighting Adam's rookie run to where he obviously has never done a dynasty league before. Just want to point out how ridiculous he went with the rookies. And these aren't even all the rookies that he picked, but he had a string of five rookies in a row from the ninth round to the 13th, where he went with Noah Fant, who's a starting tight end, Marquise Brown, Debo Samuel, Kyler Murray, and Benny Snell Jr., a third string running back with his 13th pick. Other than Kyler Murray, all of those picks were just awful values. Can't expect anything from him this year.
And right.
I can't wait to talk about, spend an entire episode talking about Wassel's draft.
Oh, I hope he's pulled off to the side of the road trying to catch speeders, because he may crash his car listening to this episode.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Fine. What everybody's waiting for. You want to talk about the power rankings?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Let's fire through them.
Good. Hey, so I'm going to start from the top because there's really much less controversy. It's pretty clear cut on who's, you know, who's at the top. So just to be clear for these power rankings, these are the teams where if they were to play right now, who we would expect to win and who, you know, we're expecting the projections to be higher or the highest for. At no surprise, at number one, Kirk, it's our team, the Fancy Boys. And to be honest, it really, really was not even close. So anything on that?
It's very hard to argue with you when you're right.
Right. It makes for a bad podcast.
Right, right.
When we agree on everything.
Why waste time?
Yeah. Second, surprisingly, well, I guess not surprising, because it was a computer. It was Computer Dano.
Yeah.
Now, what we're expecting is that when real Dano remembers his username and password, that this team will probably drop in the power rankings. We're not expecting them to stay at number two.
Well, the challenge instantaneously is to turn over four to five players on his roster that don't play football right now.
Right. Who they have the NFL logo behind their picture. No team, because they're not on a team. They're
more likely to be a Democratic presidential candidate than they are to be playing football right now.
Right. So
no offense, Dano.
No offense, Computer Dano.
Yeah.
He got great value for all those guys who are out of the NFL.
Right.
So and then now we get into I guess where it's a lot tighter, the race. At number three, we had Edwards, Ryan, whose team name is mediocre at best, as our number three team.
Yeah.
And actually, when we broke down the numbers, or when we compared our rankings, 3, 4, and 5 were actually very close. Number four is Nuke and Sturkey. And it's funny because other than us, that's the only other team with co-owners, and their team name is Co-Owners Are Gay. Number five is B. Mitch. Number six, Miguel, and only his second year of playing fantasy football, the Purple Pee-Pee Eaters, coming in at number six. Number
Can we throw him into that as well as the gay part, I guess? I mean, his name says it.
Yes, we can throw him in there.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Co-owners and PP Eaters are gay. That should right. be new
yeah. team. I think they're one and the same.
All right. Number seven is Hustletown. That's Tio. And the only reason he's at seven is because the other teams were that much worse. I hate his team, and it pains me to put him in the top two-thirds of the league. B-More. Orchids of Asia at number eight, although B-More, you know, he won our other dynasty league last year, so he'll come back from that. Yeah. And staying true to his word, Nickelback fan said, I may be mediocre at best, but I guarantee I will not be the worst team. And so far, he's staying true to that. He is the ninth team. He's the second worst team.
Yeah.
And when you and I gave each other or showed each other our power rankings, this was unanimous. We both had Wassel at number 10. And again, it was not really that close.
No.
When we dedicate an episode to his team, we will show you how he lacked any coherent strategy and has the most peculiar dynasty team I've ever seen. And I have a theory. I have a theory of what he was trying to do.
Well, remember, this is the first time we've played with him where he wasn't a co-owner.
Yeah. Yep.
So I'm really concerned about his safety. I wonder if his helmet is firmly in place on his head. Well.
Yeah. So he will be a guest on our episode when we break down his team. So we're not going to speak for him. We're going to give him an opportunity yeah. to show our everybody our just how stupid
and,
he
our
is.
Our thoughts and prayers are with him, though.
All right. So
we get to play him first, which
I
can't wait.
Yeah, twice a year.
You're right.
So, all right, man. Well, hey, good job. Yeah, after this is we're going to break down each team in more detail, and that should be a lot of fun. And as much as we can, we'll have each team on the show to defend their dumbass picks.
Right, and it'll be one whole episode for each team. Every right. team.
Every single team.
Mm-hmm.
All right, man. Well, hey, that's all for the Fancy Boys. We're signing off.
And fading out.